Okay. One of the toughest things that we face in our adult life is raising children. How to do this, how to do that, when's too much, should I do this? I remember many times praying and saying, God, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do. And I mentioned in Sunday school that these two messages, in fact, most of the things that I speak on, most, not all, are actually good examples of parenting. Why? Because the best example that we can have in Scripture of parenting is how the Father raises His children. God the Heavenly Father, you see, when I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior, yes, I was made a son of God because I'm baptized into Christ, but I'm also His child by birth, the new birth. I became no longer a child of Satan, but I'm a child of the Heavenly Father. And my Heavenly Father deals with me, and that's what the Sunday school was all about. And we didn't finish it, but we're going to get back to it. The Heavenly Father sets a course for me to run. And Paul has that theme throughout the New Testament. Run the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Course, course, course. And then we looked at Philippians 3. Run the race. Press. Keep pressing. Paul had that theme throughout all his writings, that God, the Heavenly Father, has set an individual course for each and every one of His children. So there's a separate course for me, there's a separate course for Sherry, there's a separate course for Robert. There's a separate course. That you're to pursue and run down to what? To win Christ's likeness. This was in the Sunday school. To win Christ. He presses towards the mark. The Father is the one who laid that course out. And in that course, sometimes Oren acts right and sometimes Oren doesn't act right. When Oren acts right, he grows. And that's what we're going to continue to discuss in Sunday school. What the rule is, what the stepping is, how do you become mimics, who do you look at, who do you focus on, in that context of Philippians 3. By the way, what you're hearing here at this church, you're not going to hear almost anywhere else. I'm just telling you. It's the way it is. It shouldn't be, but that's the way it is. Sometimes Oren acts wrong. And as I go, this was David Hutchins' question. How does predestination work in this running the course? We'll discuss that next week. God brings me back. Because He's not going to let me be like the unsaved. One of the things I started remembering is, why do I always get caught? I make the best plans to act bad, and I get caught. How come this guy doesn't get caught? Why does he get away with it? But I get caught. Why? Well, because my Father, Heavenly Father, He won't let me go. And He says, Oren, let's get back running the race in a straight line. You're a little off here. Get back. Of course, we will go that far, but my Heavenly Father will take me home if I just say no. If I act like a little child and beat my feet and kick the dust and say, no, 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 I'm not going to do it. Then my Heavenly Father says, oh, you can't behave in the neighbor's yard. Come on home. And he takes me home with him. But as I'm running that race, and he keeps me in line, come on, Oren, you can do better. Oh, let's get our mind right. Oh, yeah. Oh, sometimes there's consequences. Naughty, naughty. Get back in line. And as I'm running that race, now we're on the morning's message. We can be attacked with other distractions. We can be attacked with things that are going to cause our mind to be distracted on the race course. The race course to maturity. The race course for winning Christ. And so Paul writes in Philippians, let's read there, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, he's talking to believers, dearly beloved, he's telling them, he's directing agape love at them, and the things that he's saying to them is because he loves them. And longed for my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudaeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. So here's two women got their minds off kilter. And they're disrupting the whole church at Philippi. And he's telling them to get their mind straight. And he's telling probably the pastor of the church here to help them out. With Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now verse 4. How to get their mind straightened back out. He says, rejoice. Rejoice means to counter joy again and again and again. What's that? That you look at your circumstances that you're going through and have a true satisfied gratitude that this is God's will for your life. He's talked about that in chapter 3. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Be directing joy that you're in the Lord, under the Lordship of Christ, and nothing's going to happen to you that He hasn't planned. Let your moderation, your reasonableness, your sweet reasonableness, your moderation, you're not extreme to one way or the other way. As you're rejoicing in the Lord, a moderation, a sweet a reasonableness that comes out of you where you're not imbalanced one way or the other. Let it be known unto all men. Why? How can I be sweetly moderate? Because I'm keeping on my mind that the Lord is at hand. He can return at any moment. And this could be all done. So we see some good parenting right here. There's instruction on how God gives to His children through the Apostle Paul on correct thinking and mind. How to keep your mind correctly oriented unto your identity of who you are. It's confusing out there in the world. There's so many things that are out there that are trying to get my mind off of who I really am, my identity. My identity is really simple. I'm a son of God and I'm God the Father's child. So we see in here at first that good parenting is reminding children who they are. That they don't lose focus. And who they are before their Heavenly Father. And then paramount is the return of Christ. That everything on this earth is temporal. It's not going to last. But the Lord is at hand. He's coming back and these temporal things will be gone. Verse 6. Be careful. That word careful is full of anxiety or worry. Now, I asked you last time I was with you, what's wrong with worry? Look what the word says here. Be careful. Don't be, have your whole mind full of care and anxiety. And then it says, be careful for, I'm going to retranslate, not one little thing. Oh, that's nice to say, but how do you do it? Don't be full of worry for one little thing. What's wrong with worry? I told you, I read somebody once had in a book that worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Remember that? Well, I wrote this down. What's wrong with worry? Why is worry wrong? This is what Oren wrote for himself. Worry is wrong because it implies something. It implies that this circumstance, this thing that I'm going through right now, this thing that I anticipate is happening, this circumstance is so important that God can't take care of it. What did we just read in here? Rejoice in the Lord. If He's Lord, He's over everything. So I am going to have a satisfaction that I'm in the Lord and He's the Lord, the master over my life. If I worry, then I'm saying, He's the Lord, but not on this. Worry implies that this thing right now, this thing that's happening to me, is bigger than the Lord. And that's what's wrong with worry. It implies that Oren needs to be concerned about this because this is bigger than the Lord can handle. And that's wrong. So here's our good Heavenly Father, good parenting. He says, stop worrying, my child. Here's what you do. Good instruction. How to raise your children. Talk to them. Listen to their problems. Discuss it with them. Now, I admit, when they're this big, it's harder than when it's this big to sit down and tell them, okay, let's talk about these things. Because you have to build precept upon precept. But you can get little things across. Hey, God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. You can get those things across. But you can't get them across if you don't meet as a family. One of the things I've been observing is something that's contrary to what Helen and I did. I notice families don't get together much. It's really evident when you don't eat meals with each other. But I remember in our home when we'd all get together and Mom would have stuff and we'd all get down there. And boy, what a time to have families together, and then you can discuss things. Hey, Dad, when are we going to do this? What about that? And then Mom's listening and saying, well, wait a minute, what do you think about this? And then she puts her two cents in. And family discussions. And then little brother or sister sets up and says, what about me? Oh, well, we'll go do this and do that. But it's not necessarily all it's that. You're together. And you're learning about each other. And you're learning about the kids. If you're not together with the family, you don't learn. I learn about my child. I learn about what they're thinking. I learn. So my father here, he tells his children through Paul, hey, you're getting all worried about something. You're getting all upset. It actually says, stop being full of worry. Don't worry for one little thing, because it implies that I am not in control, which is absolutely contrary to everything that you know about me. I'm God. I know the end from the beginning. I know every detail. I am omniscient. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty, all powerful. I can do anything I determine to do. Why is that important? Because look what he says next. Be full of care, anxiety for not one little thing, but in everything that you can be anxious about. But in everything that you have, you think, grounds to worry about, do this. There's parenting. Don't only tell your children what not to do. Tell them how to do it. But in everything, by prayer. That word prayer is worship. What did I just say a minute ago? Hey, Oren, what are you doing? Look at your fingernails. They're all gone. Are you worrying, Oren? What are you worrying about? Here's what to do, Oren. Start worshiping me. What did I just do a minute ago? I am El Shaddai. That's Old Testament. I am, what does that mean? God Almighty. So what are you worrying about, Oren, that's beyond my ability? I am the God who knows the end from the beginning and all details. That's Old Testament also. I think it's in the book of Isaiah. The other one's in the book of Genesis. Genesis 17. Abraham, I'm El Shaddai, walk before me and be thou perfect. We are his children and he's God. So start looking at what God reveals himself to be. Then he says, and supplication. Cry for help, Oren. Well, my father, I know you're all-knowing and I know you're all-powerful, but there's things that are occurring right now that I am unaware of all of the details. There's things that are hidden from my mind, and to be honest with you, God, there's things that I'm concerned about because I don't know the details and I don't know what to do. You been there? I have. I've been there where I'm raising my children. I mentioned that in Sunday school. There were times where I'd sit before God and I'd worship Him and I'd say, God, I still have to do something now and I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom that I might make the right choice. Because this is my son, this is my daughter, and I'm their father, and I have to make a decision, and I want to make the right decision. I've been there where I'm on my knees just about to cry because I don't know what to do. That's supplication. God, help me. And I've always added, Helen can testify to this, don't I? I add, God, help Helen and I to make the right decision and make it so plain and so clear that even a dummy like me can't miss it. Right? Make it so evident. And you know, God does. Problem comes when Oren doesn't supplicate, when Oren doesn't ask for help. You can't supplicate unless you really evaluate yourself correctly on things that you cannot do, things that you don't know. You see, sometimes we begin to think we know everything. And we think we can do everything. When sometimes God brings us to a situation where He wants us to supplicate and say, God, I don't know. I don't have the ability. I need Your help. So supplicate is a cry for help. We worship. We look at who God is. We supplicate. I cry for help. And all through this, after thanksgiving, I keep reminding myself that God's grace has been sufficient in my life. And if I can thank God for what He's done back here, it hasn't always been like this. It's not going to be always like this in the future. But maybe it's like this right now. But I thank You, God, that You do listen to me. And You do have the solution. Thank You for what You've done in the past. Thank You for what I know You're going to do in the future. Thank You for being my God. Then He says, by the way, that's with thanksgiving is after thanksgiving. So you worship, supplicate, thanksgiving, then you ask. Now, why do you ask last? What did James say? Apostle James. He says, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss. This is the solution. See how good our Heavenly Father is in parenting? This is parenting 101. He gives us a sequence of worshiping, gets our mind oriented on who God really is. Then we cry for help because I look at who I am and realize my own limitations. Oren can't do everything. Oren doesn't know everything. But my Father does. Help. And then ask for, give thanks, then ask for specifics. This sequence is what our Heavenly Father has given us so that we'll ask in the character of Christ. So that we don't ask amiss. Christ said, if you ask anything in my name or character, what? I will do it. That's a promise. How do you ask correctly in the character of Christ? It's right here. Right here. My Heavenly Father says, look at me, worship. Cry for help, realize your own limitations. I've allowed things in your life where you can come to realize that Oren isn't as big a cheese as he thinks he is. He allows things for me to supplicate. If he didn't allow things where I could cry to help, then I would never cry for help. But he wants me to cry for help, which means he brings me into situations that he wants me to cry to him and say, help. Then he wants me to ask. But he wants me to ask correctly. If my little son Tim here, in fact, he did that one. He comes to me and says, hey, Dad, I want the axe. And I'm going to use you, Tim. You'll forgive me. Maybe. I want to do the fire. I said, no, you're too little. Can't do that. So he asked amiss. He wasn't able to handle it. So then Tim, what he did is, him and his friend Mark said, I'm not listening by Daddy. No. What does Daddy know? So him and Mark went and made their own fire. Boy, were they proud. What was it, about this high? Probably about this wide. Almost set the whole woods on fire. And they're calling, hey, Dad, look what we did. Yeah, and then parenting 101, I followed the scriptural example. He got a whooping. They thought they were big cheese. They thought, now I know I'm talking about your daddy, but even he made mistakes, but now he's all grown up. And he got a whooping from me. Because I don't want him killing himself with fire. I didn't do it. I remember Tim came to me once and he said, do you remember this? You just like hitting kids. I said, no. I don't like just beating on kids. That's not my thing. It's like I don't sit there and say, oh, let's have a couple of children, Helen, so I can beat on someone. No, I don't do that. That wasn't my purpose. My purpose is that I wanted him to grow up to be the man that he is today. And that's what my Heavenly Father wants me to grow up to be, the Christian man that he wants me to be. So he says to ask for specifics. Make them known unto facing thee God. I can look at that. It means make your request known. Facing thee God means you got your mind in the heavenlies. You're looking at God the Father through your position in Christ and you're asking. It's make your request experientially known facing the God. So you're addressing God the Father, facing Him through your position in Christ. Now, where we're up to, which is the message. And the result is the peace, the specific peace. And I'm not sure how to translate this. I'm going to give you two and I'll tell you what I think it is. It's either the peace that belongs to God or the peace from God. I think it's the peace from God. It's the peace that comes from God by the Holy Spirit, through the fruit of the Spirit. The peace. What's peace? An unruffledness of mind. What's in the context? What's the Christian doing? Worrying. But here's a promise. You do this, remember the Lord's coming back at any time. All of this is temporal. It's not my eternal state. The Lord is at hand. I can be sweetly reasonable because I'm in the Lord and He's over everything. I can worship my Father. I can supplicate and cry for help and He hears me. I can give thanks to Him that I appreciate what He's doing in my life. And I can ask for specifics and let them know why. Because I'm up there in heaven and He always hears me because I'm in Christ. And I can know that He's going to supply what I ask for if I'm asking in the character of Christ. Then the peace that comes from God. This is not how to gain peace. This is how to direct peace. So the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, from God, is going to do what? What kind of peace? The peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to have to retranslate all of this to get it across to you. And this is our message where we're heading to. The peace that surpasses. That word surpassing means, I could translate this superior. It's having beyond, having above. It's that which you possess which is above something. It's superior to something. What is it superior to? The peace that surpasses, that's superior to what? To all understanding. We got to retranslate that. That's not a good translation. The peace that is superior, it's over all qualities of mind. It's nous here. It's a peace that is superior, which is above all qualities of my mind. Why is that important? Because what's the Christian doing in this context? Worrying. They're worrying because they think that this event or circumstance is bigger than the Lord, bigger than my Heavenly Father. Well, as I worship and I supplicate and I thanks and I ask for specifics, this is going to direct peace above, superior to all qualities of mind that I would worry. That surpasses all qualities of the mind shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I retranslated that. We have to now define that next word. It will what? It's surpassing all qualities of the mind that I would worry about. It's superior to my worrying mind. It will, peace is an unruffledness of mind. It's going to calm my mind down. And it's going to do what? It's going to guard. What's this word guard? This word guard is a military term. It's like the guard at a gate. You ever see a military gate? Do you ever see that? Military gate. And you got the soldier. And he's got the gun. And it's got the rail down. And he's standing guard. Now, mostly when we see that, we think of what comes in. The sentry. Aren't you a ninja on Facebook? Your picture? Yeah. The ninja. Guard. Standing guard. But this isn't of what comes in. How do I know it's not of what comes in to the mind, into the heart? What does God allow sometimes when you're spiritual to attack us? Any of you guys know? Who attacks us? Huh? Satan, that's one. Got another? The flesh, the sin nature, the appetite within. Got another one? The world system. Put the guys on the spot. He said, I'm not coming here again. He's embarrassing me. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They got it all right. Hey, if we were in another church, I'd say, give him a hand. Okay. The world, the flesh, the devil. That's right. And what do? Those enemies place thoughts where? Into our mind. So peace doesn't stand as the guard against what comes in. It will in a sense, but those thoughts God can still allow in. You can't control the thoughts that come in your mind. But what's this peace going to do? It says we'll guard our what? Our heart. The heart is inside, and it's where our person makes decisions from our spirit and our soul. What we think and what we feel. What we like and what we reason. So the spirit and soul in the